Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. Last one for 2024. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauley again tonight. Matt will be back. I think he's back on Thursday, right? I think that's what it is. It'll be Thursday night, but you've got me for one more night, and I'm glad to be here. Glad that you are here. Kyle Sixt is here. We'll finish out strong. We've got a lot going on, obviously, sports-wise, and we'll get to talk about a lot of it tonight here on Sports Open Line, and we will welcome your calls. We do have a couple of open segments right now, so be thinking about this. This is the way that I kind of want to go about this, is I would say, and you're welcome to reflect on if there's something specific from 2024, but I think the way I want to do this is let's think about if this were 1 year later, December 31st, 2025, what are we talking about on December 31st, 2025 with regards to St. Louis sports? So that could be what you hope we're talking about, what you think we're talking about, what you expect that we'll be talking about, anything that you think is upcoming in 2025. That's on the table. So be thinking about that. Like I said, we have some open segments, I think. So at least an open segment as it looks as we kind of build things out here. We do have a couple of guests. We'll try our best to get some Blues postgame to you. That's going to depend on how this one finishes. They're just ending the second period. It's 5-1 Blues, by the way. They are just crushing the Blackhawks in the Winter Classic in Wrigley. Maybe that second period isn't quite over yet. It's real close to the end of the second period. I think it is the end of the second period. So if we have the opportunity, the Blues, I will tell you, the Blues are great about getting out some post-game sound. It might be a little bit different with this game being at Wrigley, so we'll see. If we can get you some post-game sound, we will certainly try to do that. Really cool. Cam Fowler, by the way, opened the scoring tonight for the Blues. His 1,000th game in the NHL, and he gets the goal in the Winter Classic. He's actually got two goals tonight now in the Winter Classic. Another goal for Dylan Holloway. He has played really well, but he has played even a step better since Montgomery has taken over. 10 goals in 17 games since Jim Montgomery has taken over as the Blues head coach. So he has really flourished under Montgomery's leadership and his tutelage or whatever. I don't know what it is that has made that combination click, but it already looked like a savvy move to go grab Holloway and then Broberg when Doug Armstrong signed them an offer sheets in the summer. But man, it's looking even better now. And if you caught last night when we talked to Matt DeFranks from STLtoday.com, he said you got to remember too how young Holloway still is. So he is going to be a big part of this team moving forward. And you put him there with Kyrou and with Thomas. You've got a really nice core as you start thinking about where this Blues team has the opportunity to be. That might not necessarily be in 25, and that was part of our conversation. It might be 25, 26, right, that kind of manifests itself because, again, 17 games for Montgomery so far. This is not a lot of his influence as far as players are concerned, so that will come with the next offseason. But he's got a chance to kind of shape what this team is going to be over the next 4 or 5 years. Signed a 5-year contract, so we know that's only as good as, I guess opinions are, because coaches tend to come and go very quick in the NHL, much quicker in the NHL than you see in any other sports. Can you think of any other sport where a coach would lose his job at the beginning of the year and then have a new job within the same league within a couple of weeks, because that's what happened to Jim Montgomery. So that is how quick it happens in the NHL. And I think that it was made clear then that that was who the Blues wanted to go after. That's why they did it. That Doug Armstrong said that's why they did it at this point. And it's paid off, at least to this point. At least it feels like it's paid off. And now we get to see, heading into 2025, what that really looks like as far as the Blues go. They have a really home-heavy schedule in January, and I think we'll know a lot more about what this Blues team is going to look like here in a couple of weeks. So we'll talk to Jeff Jones coming up here in our second segment. This is night number three for me in a row, essentially doing Sports Open Line. We did Friday, did last night, and we haven't had a chance to talk about the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have given us nothing to talk about, but we do need to talk about the Cardinals. We do need to look forward kind of at what might be to come for the Cardinals, and we can look back at 2024, and we'll do that with Jeff Jones, who covers the Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat. He also does some writing for MLB.com, and he's been covering this team for a while, so Jeff will have a great perspective kind of on what's going on, what's to come, all of that. The Billikens got off to a good start in conference play today. They beat up on Fordham, getting a road win, and I was listening to the post game here on Camo X and Bob Ramsey talking to Josh Schertz, and he said, look, a win is fantastic, right? A win in conference, great. But getting that road win in conference is like finding that gold nugget, man. When you can get a road win in conference, that's huge. I mentioned this just the other night, about it might have been last night, that is ultimately what separates teams when you're looking at a conference race that is more than likely going to come down to a few games. It always does in almost every conference. What separates those teams that end up at the top of the conference is going to get a road win, picking up some of those road wins. I think it was when we were talking about Mizzou basketball the other night, we were talking about that because the SEC is going to be so hard. But the A-10 is not going to be easy. No conference is easy. So the Billikens check one off today, getting the win at Fordham. We're going to talk to Stu Durando, who for a long time covered the Bills for STL Today and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He's now gone on his own, and he has his own Substack, and he covers the Bills exclusively. So he's going to have some great insight on the Billikens. And I had a chance actually earlier today, so I caught up with Frank Cusimano of Five on Your Side, and we chatted about a number of things. We talked a lot about Mizzou football and the finish to the season, but also what the future looks like for Mizzou football. And we reflected on a couple of things, including the Blues, including the Cardinals. And so we'll have that for you in the 7 o'clock hour. And then I should have some time to take some calls and hear what you think is upcoming in 2025 for St. Louis sports. And like I said, we'll try to get you whatever Blues postgame we can get you. They are in the second intermission right now. It is 5-1 Blues. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk some Cardinals baseball with Jeff Jones. That's on the other side of the break. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly here tonight. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, and this is Camo X. See, we even have some good music here on a New Year's Eve for you. Welcome back in on Camo X. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. And as I mentioned before the break, finally an opportunity to talk a little Cardinals baseball. And granted, they have given us zero to talk about here recently. But we're going to do it anyway, and we're going to do it with Jeff Jones, who covers the Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat and has covered this team for a while for many different outlets. Happy New Year, Jeff. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, Joe. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, look, it's been really, really quiet. And, you know, I think we had an idea that there wasn't going to be a lot going on because there's not going to be a bunch of additions. By this point last year, I think that all of the three pitchers, the big pitching signings that the Cardinals had made, had all been done at this point. I guess we just start with the third baseman in the room and talk about Nolan Arenado. Do you foresee any chance that Nolan Arenado is on the opening day roster for the Cardinals?
I guess we can't say no chance, but boy, it's really hard for me to envision it at this point. I think this thing is so far down the road in terms of, I think, it being clear what both sides kind of want out of this, what the Cardinals feel like they need to do for Nolan Gorman in terms of securing playing time for him at third base, and really, frankly, what they want to do in terms of payroll. I think that you know, when we hear from them, they're continuing to want to cut. It says to me that there's really no path forward without this getting figured out. And then I do think it will be. You know, I don't know that necessarily it might be in a spot that maybe anybody thought that it would be when this started. But I do have a really hard time imagining Nolan Arenado being on the team on opening day, let alone when camp opens here. But I guess we can't say never until the ink is dry on that.
I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go to Houston, and I know it was a lot more about timing necessarily, or than it was necessarily about the destination. But it seems like the destination is one that would fit Nolan Arenado at this point in his career quite well.
You know what's really interesting to me about that, and I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to it because maybe it's a universe that couldn't exist. But I wonder if the deal with the Astros and Arenado had been agreed to before the Astros sent Kyle Tucker to Chicago, I wonder what his reaction is. Because when you think about the timing of all of that, you know, the Astros obviously now have since pivoted to signing Christian Walker, and they're going to play Isak Paredes at third base. But at the time, making that deal, trading Tucker to the Cubs, could very easily have been a signal that they were willing to kind of, you know, throttle down themselves a little bit. And then so it didn't necessarily shock me, given the timing, that was a place that Nolan might have shied away from. But I do think it's an interesting sort of counterfactual. If the Astros reverse the order of those transactions, what does the winner look like?
We're talking with Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrat, talking a little Cardinals baseball here on New Year's Eve. When I was looking at kind of what I have said a lot, that I, you know, for all that folks think and all the hand-wringing, I certainly don't feel like, you know, this is going to be some sort of terrible. I don't feel like this is going to be a 2023. I think this team, even as it's constructed right now, even if you take Nolan Arenado out of there, I think what we are looking at is probably very close to what we saw in 2023. Am I way off the mark?
So I think the issue with this team that's going to crop up, that we saw crop up in that really long and tough 23 season, is that I'm not entirely sure where the innings come from to sort of fill in the gaps here. You know, when you look at the guys that so far they've let leave in free agency, Lynn, Gibson, Andrew Kittredge as well should be somebody that we remember here in terms of a guy who pitched important innings that's off of this roster. You know, it's around about 350, 360 innings that have walked out the door. And can those innings be replaced internally? Maybe, you know, maybe it's possible that you get 150 really strong innings out of Michael McGreevy. And maybe if Kyle Leahy pitches 30 more innings and Chris Roycroft pitches 20 more innings, they look like Kittredge. And, you know, they look like guys they're replacing. And maybe Steven Matz is healthy for a whole year. There's a lot of maybe in there, right, that kind of seems like, okay, maybe it could be there. But at the same time, I don't know. To me, that 23 season really went off the rails when you were sort of looking at a team that had a clearly limited Adam Wainwright taking starts. You had Dakota Hudson and Jake Woodford taking starts. That was a lot of innings that really weren't of big league quality in that 23 season, and that's kind of where the bottom fell out. And so I do see the case for optimism, especially offensively and on the position player side, but I would caution folks that until Michael McGreevy shows up to spring, and he is that guy, and Gordon Graceffo either is that guy or maybe is a weapon out of the bullpen, until those things happen, I think it's fair to be a little skeptical of that.
Do you expect Eric Fetty to stick around?
I do. I think that, you know, if the Cardinals find themselves in a spot where they're needing to trade off Eric Fetty this winter, then things have probably gone pretty seriously awry. If for no other reason, then he doesn't really make that much money. I think it's 7.5 next year. And for starter visibility, for a perfectly cromulent number three kind of starter who's going to take the ball and put up predictable results for you, that's a guy who's going to have probably a lot of value at the deadline, that if it's a team that's out of it, that you know, he's going to be a guy you would trade. Or if you're a team that's, you know, surprisingly competitive, if you're last year's Brewers, then you hang on to him and you sort of see, you know, how far it goes. But to me, I think of the two, paradoxically, because he makes a little more, Steven Matz is the guy that's more likely to be moved.
And Sonny Gray, does he stick around as well?
I think so. I think we get the impression from Sonny that what was important to him when he signed the free agent deal last winter was proximity to home and the ability to be around his kids and sort of have an environment that he's comfortable with. And, you know, I think it's, he's told the Cardinals he's comfortable being in a spot where he's going to be kind of a veteran mentor for younger pitchers, if not necessarily on a contender. Now, you know, again, we'll see what that looks like. Does Sonny feel the same way at the deadline? Does it feel the same way next winter? Hard to say, depending on how this year goes, but I would expect him to be here on opening day.
Jeff Jones is with us as we talk a little Cardinals baseball, continuing on kind of what maybe we expect about 2025. The catching position is another one that is intriguing to me, and I was so certain that they were going to try to move Yvonne Herrera at the deadline last year, and maybe they tried. I don't know. I'd never heard that, but I've heard much more about Yvonne Herrera being the guy behind the plate this year when it seemed to me that Pedro Páez was trending at being that guy that they wanted to stay behind the plate. Where do you see that shaking out?
You know, the thing with Herrera is that his bat plays at a level, especially for a catcher, where if you can get him defensively to be, say, just maybe slightly below average to average, if he can be that good of a defender, then the bat is of such a quality that he's a big advantage for you at catcher, because compared to other catchers, he hits really well. But that's also sort of the challenge there, is that that's where you would want that guy. Because if Yvonne Herrera was, for instance, a first baseman or a corner outfielder even, then all of a sudden the bat compared to others to play that spot doesn't necessarily play up in the same way. So he would be picking up that slack elsewhere. I think that when you look at Páez and Herrera compared to each other last year in terms of what they generated, I think obviously Herrera is a better hitter. Páez, I think, hit better last year than they were counting on. I think it was 7 homers he ended up hitting. You know, was put in some really good, strong, competitive at bats. I think was better at the plate than maybe they expected. But I think Herrera definitely shows out as a little bit of a better hitter. Páez is maybe a slightly better framer, maybe a little better game caller, a little better at working with the pitchers. Is markedly better at throwing runners out. Neither of them were league average. Even Páez was slightly below average in a lot of those metrics, but Herrera was pretty dismal behind the plate in throwing guys out last year. And so that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out, because one thing that's also going to be a challenge, again, if you're talking about a young pitching staff, it's a lot to pitch in the big league. It's a lot to sort of manage and keep your eye on. And if the running game is going crazy behind them because the catchers can't limit it, that's not putting those guys in the best possible spot to succeed. So that's going to have to be a point of emphasis based on kind of what we saw last season with those guys and not controlling the run game.
And how do we like Wilson Contreras as a first baseman? How do we think that is going to shake out?
I think it's a really interesting idea just in terms of, you know, if you look at the ways that Wilson has gotten hurt over the last couple of years, they haven't really been, I guess they haven't been what I would call like a wear and tear kind of injury, right? You know, there was no like soft tissue stuff. It's all just sort of been freak accidents, but it's also freak accidents that kind of only happen to catchers.
Catchers, yeah.
Right. So, you know, by moving him out of there, does that turn the bat in even a better direction? Maybe it does. And he was far and away their best hitter last season when he was healthy and on the field. And so if he says that's the best way to keep him there, then that's the best way to keep him there. I do think that, again, when we talk about what this team looks like next year compared to last year, we should keep in mind that Paul Goldschmidt, for whatever he did at the plate or didn't do, is an outstanding defensive first baseman. You know, has he slowed down a little as he's aged? A little, yeah. But he's still a top-tier defender at first base. And when you look at what that has to do with the rest of the infield, you know, and especially in terms of scooping out throws, we should be prepared for a little bit of that to be a little bit of a challenge as well.
Yes, I remember that being a huge part of when he came to St. Louis on what he was going to do for the infield defense, and I think he did that and more. And for what it's worth, and it's worth nothing, I think he's going to have a great year for the Yankees too. I don't think that last year is as indicative of a great slide for Paul Goldschmidt, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, you know, especially when you look at the way he kicked up in the second half of the season. Basically, it was kind of the second half of 23 and the first half of 24, where he was really pretty lost. And whether that was something mechanical, whether maybe there was more going on with him physically than he even maybe recognized or wanted to admit, who knows? But he did seem to find it a decent amount. And frankly, like, the Yankees don't need him to be 2014 Paul Goldschmidt, right? If he can be 2023 Paul Goldschmidt, 2019 Paul Goldschmidt, that's more than enough for the Yankees, and he'll do them a great service by doing that.
Totally agree. Speaking of doing a great service, we appreciate the service you have provided us, Jeff Jones, on this New Year's Eve to chat a little Cardinals baseball.
I am thrilled to do it, Joe. Absolutely, anytime.
Have a great new year and a great rest of the holiday season. And I know we will talk to you more as we get closer to spring training and ultimately the 2025 season.
You too, sir. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, man. Sounds good. That's Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrats. Covered the Cardinals for a long time. Appreciate him stepping in on New Year's Eve. We'll keep it going. We've got Stu Durando talking Billikens basketball. That's coming up next. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line, and this is KMOX. A very happy New Year as the Graybar Sports Open Line continues here on New Year's Eve. I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight as we wrap up 2024. We could do a little looking ahead to 2025 as well. We will do that. As I mentioned, if you have some thoughts on what to expect, what you think is coming in 2025, get ready for those because I do have some time for some calls. Right now, we'll switch gears, talk some Billikens basketball with Stu Durando, who you have read for a while in STL Today and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, is now branched out on his own. First of all, Stu, I think it's the first time that we've chatted since you have kind of started the new endeavor. Give me an idea of how that's going and how people can follow along.
Yeah, Joe, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I took a retirement from the Post about 2.5 months ago and then immediately just kind of jumped into the Substack thing that a lot of writers have been doing. I had no idea about it, but it's been a pretty cool deal. Just kind of create your own space to write, and I've been covering SLU sports there under the name Stu on SLU. Figured it would be something easy to remember so people can just go to Stu on SLU at Substack or .substack.com, I think it is. And I think today was actually my 100th story in 2.5 months I posted, so I've been pretty busy.
And if that, I think that kind of tells the story right there, because obviously for you, this is a chance to focus on something that you enjoy, something that you have a passion about. But I think for readers and for folks looking for that inside into SLU, this is something that now that's your sole focus. That's what's cool about it.
Yeah, it is. It's just like totally the focus. At the paper it wasn't, which is fine. I like doing a lot of different things, but this just allows me to kind of dig into one area. I cover all the sports there, but with the heavy emphasis on men's basketball at this point. And, you know, I just throw up whatever comes into my head that I think is a story without limitations. So I've been pretty busy with it. But it feels kind of more like a hobby now than a job, and it's been pretty enjoyable.
Really cool. Stu Durando with us here talking a little Billikens basketball tonight as they get their A-10 opener against Fordham, 88-60, the final score earlier this afternoon, and 88-63, sorry. This feels like the SLU team that we have expected and that we've only seen kind of glimpses of in the non-conference season. It felt like they've kind of put it all together today. At least a lot of it clicked.
Yeah, for one day, everything looked kind of like maybe we expected. The offense was really functioning nicely, and I think guys are still getting used to playing with Robbie Avila and just how that worked, but it looked really good today. It helps when you've got Gibson Jimerson. You know, everything he was throwing up was going in the first half, especially. Yeah, he had 26 points in the first half, and they just kind of rode it from there. Defensively, they're getting better. They're not great, but they were definitely much better. They're getting more scrappy. And you can see the progress. You know, it's kind of been a gradual thing. If not for bad free throw shooting, they might have a little bit better record. That really hurt them in a couple of games right before Christmas. But definite progress. And you know, they just have to keep trying to, you know, instead of playing in 5 and 10 minute spurts, you know, put together that full game like they did today.
I heard Josh Schertz on the post game show Actually, I guess it was Rammer that said it, but they were talking about wins and ultimately road wins. And in conference play, it doesn't matter what conference you're in. That's a huge thing to get. And this is not a terrible Fordham team. They'd won a bunch in a row coming in. They had a pretty good non-conference schedule. So to go on the road to open conference play and get a road win, you feel like, man, you've got a leg up just to start the year.
Yeah, any time you win on the road toward at least, you know, breaking even on the road is a good thing. And there were 7, 8, 10 games today, all pretty much simultaneously, and SLU was the only road team to win on the first day of conference play. So, you know, it's every little bit helps. And, Fordham's not going to be competing for the top of the conference, but, you know, they had been playing well, 5-game win streak, I believe, and they'd been scoring a lot of points. They held them down to 63. So, starting with a road win gives you a leg up moving forward.
We're talking with Stu Durando here, talking some Billikens basketball on this New Year's Eve. Kellen Thames has been an interesting character, an interesting person for this SLU team this year, and I know he's dealt with some injuries, but he's one of those that has kind of shown the flashes. What are you hearing? What can you tell us about Kellen Thames? 10 minutes today, scores 4 points.
Yeah, they didn't know if he was going to play today because he's had a hip injury for about two and a half, 3 weeks, which is, separate from the issue he has with cramping that has been a real problem. So he was really good at the beginning of the season. He was contributing in a lot of ways. There were no problems. And then he got hit with this, what Church calls full body cramping, and we kind of saw it when he went down at Illinois State on the court and couldn't continue. And it's just really been a problem that they're trying to figure out why it happens and how they can combat it. I think there have been 4 games where he's played in the first half and then just he couldn't go in the second because of he had to go back and, you know, get fluids and things like that. So they're trying to figure that out. And while they're trying to figure that out, he got the hip injury. And that kept him out of several games. So he was able to play today, came off the bench. Didn't do a lot today, but, you know, he did play and had 4 points. And he's just a kind of a different element that they don't otherwise have. So if they can get him semi-healthy and playing, you know, even 20 minutes a game, it's going to be a big addition because Schertz thinks he can be kind of a fourth big scorer for them if he's playing regularly.
Yeah, I knew that he felt that way. And all 5 starters go more than 30 minutes, and that doesn't feel like it's sustainable. If you can get some more minutes off the bench, that's ultimately going to be – I know they're probably not going to play much deeper than what they did at the, I think, 9 today, but 30-plus minutes off the bench for all 5 starters seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of his thing. I know last year he was going with pretty much a 7-man, 6.5-man rotation in conference at Indiana State. And he thinks the guys are in good enough condition to do it. Jimerson plays more minutes. I mean, he's like in the top 5 or 7 in the country in percentage of minutes played. And overall, I think there's a stat out there. There are not a lot of teams that play less bench minutes than Schertz does. So that's kind of his thing. You know, Thames would obviously be a big minute guy off the bench if he's healthy. And then they've got some other guys developing who are, you know, interesting, like Max Picar, who's really done some things in the last couple of games, who's, you know, a big 6'11 kind of perimeter player who you could see getting minutes moving forward. And you have a kid, Dylan Warlick, who was a redshirt until a few games ago. And because of the injuries, they just decided for him to play. So there's a lot of options off the bench. The question is, how much is he going to use the bench?
As we talk with Stu Durando here about the Billikens, let's talk about the A-10 too. What do you expect out of the Atlantic 10? It's been Dayton, VCU, St. Louis has been up at the top 4, you know, in recent years. What do you look for in this year's Atlantic 10?
Yeah, it's kind of, it seems to me it always has kind of the same kind of feel. You have a general idea of the top who the top 3 or 4 are going to be and maybe who the bottom couple are going to be. And there's this big soft middle or that could just go any number of ways. I think, you know, St. Louis was picked 4th and now I think they're kind of considered in that middle to lower middle part, but you know, they're going to show improvement and we'll see how that goes. But Dayton clearly showed that they were probably the best the best team in non-conference. St. Bonaventure just kind of always seems to rise a little bit with Coach Mark Schmidt. He's a really good coach, and VCU is going to be good. Last year, a couple of teams like Richmond and Loyola emerged and became two of the better teams in the conference, which wasn't expected. So could that happen this year? Yeah, it could happen. You could have an unexpected or two teams that rise up, and I don't know who they could be. Could it be the Billikens? Maybe, if they continue to show improvement. But I think someone's going to have to take a top couple spots away from Dayton, VCU, St. Bonaventure in that group.
Rhode Island had a really good non-conference season. Archie had them roll. I think they won their first eight or nine games in a row to start the year. So I don't know. Maybe they could be one as well. I think it will be interesting. And I think it is like a lot of conferences in that you kind of expect there to be, you know, the same, not the same, but you expect those top four and the bottom four. And it's kind of fun to watch what the what those teams in the middle do. And it you know, this is where, as we were talking about, maybe those road wins, they make a difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to, if you can get, you know, one or two more road wins than the teams around you, yep. It's going to really raise you, you know, let's put you a little bit higher in the final standings and the seeding for the conference tournament, that kind of thing, even if you're not in the top two or three. You know, it's better to be fifth than seventh. So the road wins, yeah, you never take those for granted. Rhode Island, you mentioned, they lost. They were 11-1 before today, and they went somewhere and lost at Duquesne. And Duquesne did not have a very good non-conference. So, it just goes to show. I mean, people thought Fordham was playing well, and they honestly did not look very good today. So teams that look good in non-conference sometimes suddenly aren't so good once conference play starts and vice versa.
It is true. There is just something different about conference play. Stu, as I said, I really appreciate you coming on tonight here on New Year's Eve. I hope the holidays have been good. Hope you have a great new year and they continue to be good. And folks can follow you, stuonslu.substack. And I would invite you to go check it out and get some real in-depth Slu stuff. Thanks so much, Stu.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Have a good new year.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Stu Durando with us here talking some Atlantic 10, talking some St. Louis University basketball. Billikens get the A-10 opener today at Fordham. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We'll take a break. We're coming back after the break on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on Camo X.
Final segment here in our 7 o'clock hour. Again, we'll have some time. I will have time for some calls in the 7 o'clock hour on the other side of the break. We'll be able to kind of get you into that 7 o'clock hour. We'll visit with Frank Cusimano after our first break, so our second segment of that 7 o'clock hour. And then we've really got the back half of the hour right now where we can take your calls. So, again, I want to know what you think we'd be talking about a year from now. So what do you expect from 2025? Or what do you hope from 2025? What is your best case scenario as we look back, as we sit here on New Year's Eve on 2024? What's your best case scenario as we sit, if we were to sit here again on 2025? So what are you looking forward to? And that really can cover anything. I've mentioned before, and I talked with Kevin Wheeler earlier this afternoon just about, you know, the Cardinals of 2025. And again, I understand the need for pause, as Jeff Jones was kind enough to kind of put that out there, that he's worried maybe about innings as far as the pitching staff is concerned. But when you look at, you've got Gray and Fetty and Michaelis and Pallante, as I would say, pretty solid top four, if provided that Sonny Gray comes back. And he said that he thought that was probably the case. Also, Eric Fetty. I don't know about Steven Matz. I don't think anybody knows about Steven Matz, because you haven't been able to depend on Steven Matz for the last couple of years. And I certainly wouldn't in 2025. But you also have McGreevy, Graceffo. Both of those guys looked good in short sample size in 2024. And you don't have to expect that it will be a full year from either of them, but it could be a full year combined from those two and perhaps a Steven Matz. I just feel like, ironically, as you go into a year that is certain that is certain of nothing, that is full of uncertainty, that it feels like the rotation is in pretty good spot, more so maybe than it has been over the last couple of years. I guess you were in good shape going into 2024 with Lynn, and also obviously with Kyle Gibson. You at least, and the reason they were brought in was innings. You at least knew that you were likely to get pretty good innings. Now, Lance Lynn had some injury issues, so wasn't as much. Neither of them obviously will be around in 2025, but even in years before that, in really good years for this team, it seems like it was always trying to piece together the rotation. And in two of those years, it was going out and getting multiple pitchers at the deadline to piece together the rotation to try to get to the National League Central title or get to the postseason. That's what it was in 21 and in 22. And then, of course, the disaster that was 23 and then comes last year. So I'm pretty optimistic in the fact that we should have some solid baseball in St. Louis. I'm not fooling myself into thinking that, like, yeah, this is going to be a contender, this is going to be great. No. Again, and I've said this before, you could get to the fact or get to the point where you have a team that might hit 90 wins, right? If a lot of these younger players all sort of hit their peak or you get a great year from several at a time. But that then relies on Gorman doing a complete 180. It relies on Walker all of a sudden having things click and figuring things out. It relies on probably a McGreevy or a Graceffo or both of them having great years in your rotation. So other than that happening, I think what you're in for is very similar to what you saw in 2024. And I would expect it to be that way for a couple of seasons. I don't think it's going to be a super quick fix. But again, you could get J.J. Weatherholt zooming through your system. You could get a Quinn Matthews who is going to make a big difference coming up on the pitching side of things. And those players are going to make a difference at some point in time. As we talked about, and maybe this was off air, I was chatting with Kevin Wheeler, and he said, and also you're drafting fifth this year, okay? So there's another opportunity to really improve what is coming behind the current crop. Let's not forget Tink Hintz is down there as well. So you do have that coming through the pipeline. So there's the opportunity. I just think it's going to be a little bit more of a slower build. We need to take a break for the news, so we will do that, get you all of the appropriate news. The Blues still up big. They're up 5-2 with about 7.5 to play in the third period. If we have the opportunity to get you some post-game sound, we will do that in the 7 o'clock hour. And again, ready to take your calls as well. New Year's Eve here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. We'll take a break for the news. We're coming back for the 7 o'clock hour on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly on this New Year's Eve. One more night. I guess it'll be two more nights, probably. I think Matt's probably back on Thursday night. I think the Musial Awards the Musial Awards airing tomorrow. I think that's maybe the case sometime during the day tomorrow. Maybe the Jack Buck Awards. Maybe it's the Jack Buck Awards. Had those confused. The Musie Awards are airing on TV, though, soon. So I think that's what I was thinking about. So the Jack Buck Awards, I think, will air tomorrow. Lots of good stuff, obviously. Plenty of football, if that is your thing. And that starts tonight, as a matter of fact. Boise State, Penn State, probably just getting underway, I think. It's a 7 o'clock start tonight, as far as the college football playoff is concerned. And then the other three games are tomorrow. Talked a lot about Mizzou the last couple of nights, but had a chance when I visited with Frank Cusimano earlier today, which we'll hear coming up on the other side of the break. We talked a lot about Mizzou. Obviously, Frank Cusimano has been covering sports in this town for a long time, so we've seen a lot of Mizzou, and he's seen a lot of the ups and downs that a lot of Mizzou fans have endured over the years. And he had some really high praise for what is going on right now at Mizzou. That'll be my little teaser there for that. So it was kind of cool to talk with him about that. The Blues just finished off the Blackhawks, by the way. That was a 6-2 final as the Blues go to 3-0 in Winter Classic games all time now. So, of course, they won the game here in St. Louis in 2017, I think it was, and then 2022 in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and they win this one here at Wrigley Field in fine fashion, 6-2. Fowler scores twice, including the first goal of the game, which came on his 1,000th game in the NHL. That is pretty sweet, pretty cool milestone there. Dylan Holloway gets another goal. So in all, I think it was five different players score the six goals for the Blues. So good all-around game, good all-around win for them, and a good way to finish off the 2024 calendar year. And again, they've got a home-heavy schedule coming up in January. So I think we're going to see, you have the chance to see a lot of good from the Blues if they can fix that home record. They are a couple of games under at home this year at Enterprise Center, but the opportunity to kind of flip that around and then, maybe make put themselves in better position to get into the playoff picture. But I think continued success for Mizzou is on the horizon. I expect continued success or maybe more success for St. Louis University on the horizon as far as the basketball is concerned. I mentioned last night SIUE and Lindenwood, they get together this weekend, and I think both of those institutions are on the rise as far as athletic programs go. We've already seen a good fall from Lindenwood this year, but they'll be continuing and then ultimately making playing their final year in transition to Division I. So they'll be fully there in the 25-26 season. And that rivalry between SIUE and Lindenwood is a good one. It's going to be an even better one. I think it's going to be a healthy rivalry and a fun rivalry because you've got folks from both sides going to the games either way. As I sit across from a Lindenwood alum right here in Kyle Sixta, who's running things for us, and there's a whole bunch of folks that are in and around that program that I know and that I've dealt with. And so I think that's just going to be great. So I expect that coming from 2025. I think I've told you pretty much what I believe you can expect from the Cardinals in 2025. And it's honestly a lot more of what we saw in 2024 for now, a couple of years, I think. And then that probably hopefully is on the upswing. I don't know as much what to expect from St. Louis City in 2025. I do kind of think that if there's not more success, then you start looking elsewhere than just they've obviously replaced a head coach already, replaced a permanent head coach. Now they've replaced an interim head coach. But I think if for some reason it does go south, right, then you have to look a little higher. Maybe you have to look at Lutz and the system that Lutz runs as the sporting director. But again, that's getting way ahead. So I don't know yet kind of what that looks like and what 2025 looks like in terms of St. Louis City. So that remains to be seen, and that's a little ways off. I hope 2025, I think there's a chance 2025 could be the first ever Division I NCAA tournament for SIUE. It could get there. It could be that. I think this team that the Cougars have, that I spend a lot of time around, obviously, and that I'm biased, but I do believe that it's as good as they've had a full, complete team. Even over the last couple of years, they won 19 games 2 years ago, 17 games last year, but I think that this team has the chance to be just that full-on, complete team, and we'll see what they do. The conference season is early going, but like we were talking with Stu Durando tonight, and we were talking some Mizzou basketball a couple of nights ago, it feels like you can get those wins and you set yourself up, obviously, for the conference tournament by doing better during the regular season. You do better in the regular season by getting the road wins. It feels like those can come this year for SIUE. So I am looking forward to that and looking forward to being around and there for all of that. And that gets underway, as I said, Thursday, Western Illinois at SIUE, So come out to First Community Arena in Edwardsville. I don't mind providing the shameless plug. And then on Saturday, it's SIUE and Lindenwood coming up at First Community Arena as well. We've got Frank Cusimano to visit with. He and I had a chance to chat earlier today, so we're going to do that coming up in just a few minutes, about 7:20 or so. And then I'd love to hear from you. If you want to get in tonight, I would love to hear from you. It's 314-436-7900. I would love to hear what you think 2025 has in store. So if we're sitting here on New Year's Eve in 2025, December 31st, 2025, what are we talking about? What are we looking back on and celebrating or remembering, rejoicing in, honoring, all of those things? What are we talking about 1 year from tonight? Are we talking about a miraculous run by the Blues down the stretch here in 2025? Are we talking about a Mizzou college football playoff appearance? I don't think that's out of the question that Mizzou could be one of those 12 teams. I think a lot of us thought that this year might be the year for that. Had there been a 12-team playoff last year, they would have been part of it. So are we talking about that? Are we looking ahead to a semifinal game that includes the Mizzou Tigers? Maybe. So what are we looking at? What are we talking about if we're sitting here on December 31st, 2025? That's what I want to know from you, and we can do that coming up in the latter half of this hour. Again, 314-436-7900 for that. We'll get to Frank Cusimano, though, first, and we'll hear kind of what he thought. We talked about a whole bunch of things. Again, we talked about Mizzou. We started it with Mizzou, but I asked him, in fact, I asked him that very question. I asked him what he thought we would be looking back on from 2025. And we talked about the Blues. We talked about the Cardinals. So we kind of touched on a number of things. And this is a guy that has been covering sports in St. Louis for more than 30 years and has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in so many programs. He talked a lot about SLU, as a matter of fact. He's a huge fan of what SLU is doing, what Josh Schertz is doing at St. Louis, and what they have the opportunity to do there at St. Louis. So we touched on that as well. So we'll take a break here. On the other side of the break, we'll visit with Frank Cusimano, the sports director at Five on Your Side, and he's been there for a long time, so he's got some great things to talk about. As we continue here on New Year's Eve, it's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauley. Frank Cusimano on the other side of the break. Joe Pott back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, sitting in for Matt Pauley tonight, and I'm pleased to have with us here the great Frank Cusimano. Easy for me to say. Frank Cusimano from Five on Your Side. Frank, Happy New Year, and I really appreciate you doing this tonight.
Joe, great to be with you. It's an honor to be on the Mighty Mox all the time.
So as we get started here, I want to look back to yesterday. Talked plenty of my guest last night, but want to talk with you just about the finish to the Mizzou football season, because you can say what you will about expectations and maybe where you thought they were going to be at the end of the year, but the point is that the way it finishes, they win a bowl game, they get their 10th win, it's the 8th time in program history, and it's not often you get back-to-back 10-win seasons, and it really feels like Eli Drinkwitz has this moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you think about it, because there's still a lot of Eli Drinkwitz doubters in our area. But I'm telling you, what this guy's done, and not just coaching, but going to Jefferson City, getting that name, image, and likeness, you know, legislature behind him, making it available for players who actually sign on the dotted line in our state to get paid while they're in high school, to land five-star players and the best players in the state kind of convincingly, that's pretty serious stuff. And I want to give you a stat. I bet you don't even have this, Joe, as great as you are. A list of SEC coaches with back-to-back 10-win seasons in history: Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron, Brian Kelly, Gary Pinkel, Dan Mullen, Kirby Smart, Steve Spurrier, and Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I sent that to Coach last night. He goes, wow, I had no idea. So he's done some incredible things. They're not in the college football playoff yet, so nobody's spiking the ball. But I like the fact that this guy's our coach and will be for a long time.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I really do. And I just felt like it was a really good ending to a season that at times maybe felt a little disappointing, of course, after A&M and after Alabama. But to finish off with three straight wins the way they did and come away with this, and you feel great, certainly, for a guy like Brady Cook.
Yeah, I spend my Sundays with Brady during the season. He's on Sports Plus every Sunday. And we got lucky. I mean, I knew he was going to be a good player. I didn't realize what an incredible kid he is. And, you know, look, you can make a case for Chase Daniel and for Phil Bradley being better quarterbacks. But I don't think you can say any quarterback displayed more heart in his career than this kid. I mean, look, have you ever seen an athlete, Joe, actually leave the field, go to a hospital, and come back and win the game? I've never heard of something like that.
I was at that game.
And find out earlier in the week, Joe, that he actually played the South Carolina game with still a broken bone in his wrist. And he threw dimes, too. I mean, he actually played really well in that game. So this kid is going to be, you know, remembered as one of the most courageous athletes in the history of the University of Missouri.
Yep, a true Tiger, no question. That is for sure. Frank Cusumano is with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. And Frank, as we have arrived at New Year's Eve, 2024 was interesting in St. Louis sports. We saw, you know, a second straight lackluster season from the Cardinals, and we saw a ton of empty seats at Busch Stadium at the end of that year, which is not something that we're used to. And we're obviously moving into sort of a different era in Cardinals baseball now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, Joe. Like, in my 32 years of off seasons of covering the Cardinals, I've never had an off season where I'm going to go into the season thinking there's really not a chance for them to win. Now, I guess there's a scenario that if you were to catch lightning in a bottle with Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker and maybe Quinn Matthews and Graceffo, if all these young players at the same time accelerate the maturation curve and just are special right away, I guess you could win the Central. But you're not going to win the National League, and you likely won't make the postseason. It's just a weird time. I'm not saying it's wrong for what they're doing. It's just strange for we people like you and I who've been covering this team for decades.
Yeah, and I have almost parroted your exact words, because that's what I said. It's going to take maybe three or four of these young guys having a great season all at once, and then maybe you get to 90 wins and you either win the Central, perhaps get a wild card. But that is, I think, and I think that's what it looks like for the next few years, to be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, I think they have the right brass in charge with Heim Bloom moving ahead. And I think they've done some great moves in their minor leagues and, you know, beefing up the staff. And the fact that, you know, Joe, for the first time in a long time, Cardinals get the draft early. I mean, the reason the Cubs had a nice little run is because they finished last for a long time. The reason the Astros have had this great run, they finished last for a long time. When you're picking, you know, 1 through 8 in the draft every year, you're probably going to get better quicker.
And the good thing is, unlike the Cubs and Astros, we're not looking at a full tank job here. We're not looking at a complete teardown. I think you're just going to see a lot more of what 2024 looked like, you know, 85, 86 wins.
Yes. Well, let's hope that's the case.
Right.
But when you try to think that they have a chance and you look at the first three hitters in the Dodger lineup, and you look at the Braves and all that electric talent, and you see the Padres and all those athletes, you think, boy, you know, best case scenario right now is let's be the sixth best team in the National League.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Frank Cusumano is with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. And Frank, the Blues have made two coaching changes in the course of a year. Now they've got their guy in Jim Montgomery, who's in for 5 years, at least the contract's for 5 years. Do you feel like they are on the right track now?
Yeah, I do. And anytime you get a chance to hire, like, arguably the most successful coach in the league for the last 3 years in terms of winning percentage, and a guy who just breathes positivity. I mean, everybody I talk to in that locker room, all they talk about is how positive he is. I just love it. Plus, he's a great tactician. He's won as a player. He's won as a college coach. He's won big time in the NHL with his winning percentage. Yeah, I like everything about him.
Yeah, everything oozes hockey out of Jim Montgomery. It's just when you listen to him talk, even I have enjoyed it very much, and I do feel like the Blues hopefully on the right track here. If we were to project ahead, look ahead, and you and I did this on New Year's Eve 2025, what do you think we're talking about at that point? What is going to stand out? What do you expect to be a big story in St. Louis in 2025?
Couple things. I think that Mizzou is going to be looking at another double-digit win season to make it three in a row. And I think we're going to be talking about Mizzou in the NCAA tournament in basketball. And I think we're going to be saying some really nice things about SLU basketball. I don't know if you had a chance to watch today, but I have a a weird obsession. I can't miss a minute of SLU basketball, and I love listening to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin, but that was a tremendous game. This was the team we envisioned. They have high-end players. 24 points in the first half by Jimerson. Abua had 19. Swope was really good. They have three big-time players. If they can figure out Kellen Thames' health, this guy's a great coach. I'm really optimistic and bullish about SLU's future moving forward in the Atlantic 10 this season. And in terms of like City FC, Cardinals, and Blues, I think the Blues have the best chance to be really good, the quickest period of time.
It's going to be interesting, that is for sure. Frank, I really appreciate it, as I said, you catching up with us and certainly on short notice. Have a great New Year. Hope the rest of the holiday season is great to you and your family.
Joe, great to be with you. Always a pleasure. Continued success on Camo X and at SIU Edwardsville.
Certainly appreciate it. Thank you, Frank. Thank you so much. That is Frank Cusumano from Five on Your Side. We're coming back here on the Graybar Sports Open Line on Camo X. Back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line on New Year's Eve. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. He is back, as I said, I believe on Thursday you'll have Matt Pauly back in here. But lines are open, so if you want to get in, please do 314-436-7900. And specifically with what you think we'd be talking about a year from now. So if we were sitting here on December 31st of 2025... what are we reminiscing about or rejoicing about or talking about next year? As you heard from Frank Cusumano, he thought that maybe he said we're talking about another double-digit football season, double-digit win season for Mizzou. I said, would that be college football playoffs? I said that before that segment. So is that what's on that list? Are we talking about a college football playoff appearance for the Missouri Tigers? Are we talking about, again, a miracle run from the Blues? It doesn't have to be a miracle run. A good run from the Blues to get them back into the postseason. Anything on the table. And if it's just something that you're dreaming that we'd be talking about in 2025, in December of 2025, that's fine too. I'll take that. You can let me know what you hope we're sitting here talking about in 2025. I'm looking forward to it. I do think there is a lot of good things. I think there's probably more stability on the horizon. We already mentioned St. Louis City in, essentially making their coaching changes from from Bradley Carnell to John Hackworth, and now replacing John Hackworth. Also, we didn't mention, but we should have mentioned, and I did mention it when I was talking to Frank, that the Blues have made essentially two coaching changes in the course of a year because they fired Craig Berube last year and then hired Drew Bannister on an interim basis, kept Drew Bannister, signed him to a permanent contract, only to then replace him now with Jim Montgomery when he became available. So they've made two coaching changes. You have to expect more stability out of the Blues. There's no reason not to expect stability out of the Cardinals, specifically when it comes to the manager spot, right? We know if they weren't going to replace Oliver Marmol last year, they're not going to replace him now when the expectations are that this is a team that is going to be fine. They're not in dire situation, but this is a team that, for one thing, needs to have stability because they're going to be trying to bring along some of these younger players. Kyle Sixta is behind the board for us here, and we were chatting during the break, and we were talking about the sheer need to find out what you have in some of these players. And less so in the McGreevies and Graceffos, right? They're really young. They've had a little taste of the majors. But 100%, you owe it to your team and to these players, specifically when you're talking about Jordan Walker, specifically when you're talking about Nolan Gorman. I think probably to some extent, Ivan Herrera. I'm not sold that Ivan Herrera is going to be your number one catcher. I know when we were talking to Jeff Jones that he said that. I wonder sometimes if the offensive upside isn't better for Páez than the defensive upside is for Ivan Herrera. And that's really where we're at. Because I think that Páez, it feels to me like he can get closer to where Ivan Herrera is. But I don't know. And I don't know where that thought is. But even to some extent of Victor Scott, you want to figure out where Victor Scott II is at. Thomas Tejesi. Do you see J.J. Weatherholt this year? There's a lot of those things that you need to figure out, and that, I think, requires the stability of leaving the coaching staff, the manager, where it is, and so that's fully what I expect. So I think that on that level, from those franchises, from the organizations, you should see a lot more stability. The Billikens, too, they made a coaching change in this last calendar year, obviously, with Josh Schertz taking over for the Billikens. So you'll have stability there. Josh Schertz is not going anywhere at this point in time. Now, that is unless he has some crazy run and then he gets picked by somebody else to make a move up, to make a promotion, to take a promotion. I guess that could always happen. But I think basically you're expecting there's going to be a lot more stability. And so let's see then if that translates, and maybe not in 25, but let's see if that translates ultimately into a lot more success on the field, on the court, those kind of things. Because I think that's what the Cardinals want it to be. And we don't know yet how far down the line. That's what St. Louis expects it to be. St. Louis University expects it to be. That's what St. Louis City expects it to be. That's what the St. Louis Blues expect it to be. That these are all going to be this stability, that the changes that have been made then ultimately lead to more success in the realm of play, in the competitive play. That is what all of these are supposed to do. So let's see if that's the case. We know it'll be much more stable than it was certainly in 2024. Probably not. I can't think of another year, certainly recently in St. Louis, that we had that much turnover from a coaching standpoint. That when you look at all of the teams and or schools that have made coaching changes, that there was that much turnover all at once. So we know that's going to be something different. So what do you expect out of 2025? I'd love to hear from you if you have an idea, or if you have a dream of what you'd like to, you'd see what it just, hey, this is a pipe dream, but I hope that on December 31st, we are talking about whatever. It doesn't have to be realistic. I'm cool with that. That's totally fine. You can also hit me on X, on Twitter, if you want. I'm Joe_Pott. So you can hit me there and I can talk about it there. So I don't think that it hasn't been a terrible sports year. And when you think about Mizzou and the success they've had in back-to-back years, that's the most consistent right now. obviously, the Cardinals in 24 were better off than we were talking about the Cardinals on New Year's Eve in 2023. I wasn't sitting in this seat in 2023. Might have been a weekend night. But let's see, what is it? It's a Tuesday night, so it would have been a Sunday night last year because of the leap year. So it would have been a Sunday night last year, so nobody was sitting here in 2024 talking about what the sports look like. But they were, obviously, we were recapping. Everybody was recapping as we got to the end of December and into January about what that season looked like. So we certainly were in for a much better baseball season. I think a lot of us thought it could be an even better baseball season, and it turned out to be than it turned out to be. And by the way, if you were listening to Kevin Wheeler and I, and we were chatting a little bit during the DGS, during the 4 o'clock hour, right before that, he was kind of teasing what they've got to come, I think, tomorrow on the Gas House Gang. They talked a lot. They've already put that aside. They've already recorded that. And he shared a little bit of that, of what he and Bernie and Matt Pauly and Tom Ackerman all thought about this 2024 season, what it meant, and really what to take from 2024 as they're going into 2025. They talked about a lot of sports, but they talked specifically a lot about the Cardinals and what that 2024 season looked like and what it will ultimately mean in the bigger picture. So that's kind of cool, and I would invite you to tune in and check that out tomorrow, certainly on all the social media channels, all the Camo X Sports social media channels. They'll have the Gas House Gang, and they're all four together for that. So that's cool. We haven't gotten any post-game sound yet. We will be able to share some post-game sound if we get some post-game sound from the Blues, that is, here relatively soon. But I've been watching for that, and we don't have it yet. The Blues win the Winter Classic today 6-2 as they beat up on the Blackhawks. And again, the really cool thing I think about what the Blues did today is they just kind of spread it around. Now, the Blackhawks are not very good. The Blackhawks, the Blues are coming in. They came in right at 500. The Blackhawks, meanwhile, were coming in well below that. They were at 12-23 coming into the game. But the Blues had five different players score their six goals. They win it 6-2. Cam Fowler scores to start it. Cam Fowler scored at the end of the second period as well. But they also get goals from Texier, from Holloway, from Falk, and from Kyrou in this one. Jordan Binnington made 28 saves, so all around good game there. And then the Blues will come home for a lot of games at Enterprise Center coming up in January. Just a quick look ahead at what the Blues have to come. They'll be back home on Friday. They've got the Senators in town on Friday. Then they'll go to the Blue Jackets. They'll go to Minnesota on Saturday and Tuesday. Then they're back home for four straight games, including two in a row, against the Calgary Flames. But they've got the Ducks in there. They've got the Blue Jackets again. So it's a really good opportunity right now for the Blues to make up that home record and kind of get themselves in a better position when it comes to the playoff picture. Let's take a break here. We've got just another segment to go, but I'd really like to hear from you. 314-436-7900 on what your wishes for, your hopes are, what your expectations are for 2025. In St. Louis sports, and you can do it on Twitter if you'd like, but give us a call if you're around, 314-436-7900. One more segment here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, New Year's Eve edition. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. We'll take a break, and we're coming back on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly here on this New Year's Eve as the Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues here. One final segment, and again, I would love to hear from you because we do not have a guest for this last segment. 314-436-7900. You could be our guest for this last segment here of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. What are you hoping for a 2025 in St. Louis sports? I'm interested. I'm following to see because I have heard and have seen some of the possible WNBA expansion talks. They've talked about that being it has come up, and Jason Tatum is rumored to be involved, which I think would be a necessity to have someone like that involved to make it a reality. I think obviously without anything, it's going to be tough to bring a professional sports franchise to St. Louis. I would love to be considered if the NBA was expanding, but I don't believe that St. Louis, I'm not sure St. Louis would support an NBA franchise. And I don't think that that's necessarily a knock on St. Louis. I think that probably the fan base could support. I wonder if the corporate base could support the NBA. That's really my hesitation or trepidation there when it comes to the NBA, because they rely a lot on the corporate dollars. And I don't know if they would consider Enterprise Center to be up to snuff, to be quite honest. Building opened in 1994, So maybe 1995. It was dedicated in 94, I think. So 95 might have been the first season, or 94, 95. Whatever. It's 30 years old. That's where you're at when you talk about Enterprise Center. And it's not that the building is crumbling, but that's never the case, usually, when you're talking about replacing a stadium. That was not necessarily the case with Bush 2, though it was crumbling to some extent, you know, underneath some of the things you don't see. I think a lot of that has been rectified, and they've done great things to Enterprise Center, and they have brought it up to speed and brought it back to life and, in fact, breathed new life into Enterprise Center. And that's what helps them attract to keep things like the Missouri Valley Conference, to attract things like the NCAA Wrestling Championship, to ultimately attract things like first and second round of the NCAA Basketball Championships. And they have said, and they have not been, you know, they've not beat around the bush. They've been precise in that, hey, we have to improve certain things, like some of the infrastructure within the building, like some of the connectivity and the internet networking. There needs to be some more fan spaces, like they've done with the Budweiser side, all of those things. But it still is a 30-year-old building that is not the same as a brand new building, which is, I think, what the NBA would be asking for and would ultimately want. It's a great building, though, and I think so maybe the WNBA is more realistic in that regard. So I would love for that to be the case. If they were talking about bringing another professional sports franchise to St. Louis and it's the WNBA, I think that would be outstanding. But I think it would have to come with a Jason Tatum or someone like that being involved to be realistic. And I have no idea how far that has even... I don't know how far that's gone. I don't know if there's been any talks. I've just seen some sort of preliminary news that that might be something that they are thinking of and that he is thinking about and wanting to be involved in. And it makes perfect sense that he would want to be involved in another sports franchise coming here to St. Louis, but that he would specifically want to be involved in a WNBA franchise coming to St. Louis. And I mean, it seems like it's the best time to get right on that train, right? I mean, I don't know that the hype or the popularity has been higher at any point than it is right now, or that it will be over the next couple of years. I think that if you have the chance to jump on that, you do it. So let's see where that goes. And maybe that's something that develops in 2025, that's something that is being considered. I've completely neglected the Battle Hawks, not on purpose, but the Battle Hawks are another story, obviously, that has been absolutely great for the city of St. Louis and for the sports fan in St. Louis, the football fan in St. Louis. And the Dome has redone its turf. The Dome has redone the lighting inside the building. So they are making changes to make it a more fan-friendly and player-friendly facility. Again, you're talking about a facility that is 30 years old. And let's even go farther, because the design for the facility was essentially for the football Cardinals, who left St. Louis after the 1987 season. But that stadium that sits in north downtown, in North St. Louis, is basically the design for what was going to be, for what they wanted to use to keep the Cardinals in St. Louis. That was the planned replacement. Obviously, they had upgraded. I'm sure there were some changes, but that's basically the design. So when it opened in 1995 for the St. Louis Rams, it was already sort of outdated. It was already, you know, not cutting edge, which then, of course, that's what the lease said and then all that, you know, all that. But it is nice to see that they have made some changes there to make it a more fan-friendly place for the St. Louis Battlehawks. So certainly we can include that. And if that is on your wish list of something that you want to be talking about, or you hope that we're talking about on New Year's Eve in 2025, then let me know that too. 314-436-7900. And you can get in and tell me what you hope we're talking about on New Year's Eve 2025. In the last few minutes that we have here of 2024, I would love to talk to you. You can also hit me up on X. We are going to hopefully be able to share some Blues postgame, but they still haven't gotten that out. And I don't know if they will, only because it is, it's a lot different. It's not what they're used to as far as I'm sure even where the, you know, where they're being held, where the post-game pressers are being held. I don't know if they're doing all the players at the podium or if they're doing the players in the, I would imagine they're doing it at the podium, knowing the clubhouse situation at Wrigley Field, knowing the notoriously small and hard to get to clubhouses at Wrigley Field. They're probably doing those at the podium. So that alone makes it different that they might not have a chance to get that out. So we might not have a chance to get you the postgame audio. I would love to share some of that and let you hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery as he wraps up the Winter Classic, but I don't know that that's necessarily possible here in the next about 4 minutes that we have left here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. But I can hear from you if you have a phone call or if you want to hit me up on X, please do that as well. It's Joe_Pott, and I would love to chat about that. Right now, the first, I guess they're into the second quarter now in the Fiesta Bowl, 14-7 Penn State. So it's not a bad game there between Penn State and Boise State. I'm really, I'm looking forward to, I said this afternoon, I'm looking forward to the Oregon-Ohio State game, but I am a very, I'm very much not an Ohio State fan. I don't really like Ohio State. Haven't sent this. This goes back to my having gone to college at another Ohio university, and so many people that went to that university with me saying things like "we this and we that" when they're talking about the Buckeyes, and they're just. I think it was just because I'm sure it would be like coming here, and there's a whole lot of people that are big Mizzou fans, and that's the flagship institution of the state, and I know Ohio State is, but it just made me not like Ohio State. So I'm looking forward to that game only because I want to see Oregon win for a second time over Ohio State this year. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Notre Dame is intriguing to me only because it looked at one point like, man, it could be a disastrous year for the Fighting Irish when they lost to Northern Illinois earlier this year. Now, it might have ultimately also been a good thing for Northern Illinois because it might be spurring Northern Illinois to a jump to a bigger, better conference. We'll see. Last couple of minutes here. Big Al's on the line. Big Al, Happy New Year.
You too, buddy. I want to say that next year I hope the Cardinals and the media and our, you know, right, everything gets squared up to where we can be competitive and DeWitt decides to go all in maybe, and then who knows what happens down the road with his family. Are they going to own it? Probably. I would say, why would you sell it? But, you know, you hear that stuff. But just get our team straightened out. We love them in the Blues. You just can't say enough about that ownership. Spending to the cap, and they don't have to whip money. And the Blues are just hardworking. And I'm really looking forward to their future. And I know the Cardinals will get it straightened out because people like me put pressure on them to get there. Stuff straight. So Happy New Year, and I just want to tell you one more thing. I beat stage 4 cancer, buddy. Went to Cabo, got immunotherapy. I was stage 4 and I'm cancer free. Thank
you, man.
God.
That's
and
the Chaser, that's the best news.
You. Yeah, thank you so much. And Chaser, you're gonna beat it just like me, bro.
Man, we appreciate it, Big Al. Happy New Year. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for sharing that. That's great news to hear from him. And he passes on the good wishes to Kelly Chase as well. Certainly we share that sentiment that he is going to beat this for the second time. It is interesting. He said, you know, he made a comment there. He's put pressure on the Cardinals, fans like him. For the first time in a long time, it certainly feels like the pressure is there. And we saw the empty seats and we saw them earlier in the season. It wasn't just when school started and when September hit. It was earlier in the season. So, as I've said before, I fully support whatever you choose to do with your money. If that is to go to games, to not go to games, if that is your way of protesting, and maybe that will be as big of a motivator as I feel like it's the biggest motivator. Let's see if that's the case. But I think Big Al also believes that changes and the things that the Cardinals have in mind are going to be successful for the team. And we certainly all hope that's the case, right? Fairly competitive maybe in 25, and then maybe we'll see what 26 has in store. I hope it's a very happy new year. I hope it's a safe New Year's Eve for everybody tonight. Enjoy it. Hope you've got family and friends around. Kyle Sixta putting it all together behind the board tonight. My thanks to you. Hope it's a great new year for you, Kyle, and for everybody here at KMOX. I'll be back on Friday morning and talk to you on Total Information AM. Happy to sit in for Matt Pauly this week. I'm Joe Pott. Keep it here. Happy New Year from KMOX.